Thanks for tuning in to the Medevac Podcast, powered by the Robert Irvine Foundation, whose mission is to support and strengthen the physical and mental well-being of our nation's heroes and their families. I'm one of your hosts, David Reed.
And I'm your other host, Christian Myers. This is a special episode of the Medevac Podcast. We are jointly releasing this with Knucklehead Podcast.
And on the road, and as you can tell.
Yeah, so we are in Rockwall, Texas with the Texas Valor Project at the Texas Gun Ranch in Rockwall, Texas. We're here raising some money for veterans and doing some pretty cool stuff. And we have with us host of the Knucklehead Podcast, Stephen Cullen.
Yep, very nice to meet you guys.
Yeah, nice to meet you as well. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. And this is a joint production for Knucklehead Podcast, where we talk about, quite frankly, just screw-ups and mistakes and the things that you do in business and what those mistakes, quite frankly, lead to, the success that you have in your life. So love to talk a little bit more about that and how that came about. But we are here at Texas Gun Ranch, formerly known as the Rockwall Gun Club. So I'm excited, honored that we would have some guests coming in from out of, I almost said out of state, out of the country recently.
You know, so, I mean, San Antonio, yeah. Texas, we're quite close.
It's like a whole, yeah, it is. It's just right up
only
the street.
Only like 5 hours, like, which is a states away for most people.
I mean, honestly, 35, it could, I'm surprised it took you, didn't take you like 7 or 8. I mean, getting out of Austin sometimes will take almost 5 hours.
You got to perfectly time it.
Yeah.
You got to perfectly time it.
You really do.
Interstate for Texas, but that's like 6 countries in Europe. 5 hours of driving, yeah.
Well, interesting. So we're combining our podcasts here and doing a collaborative push so we could reach the most impact possible, right? And I just like to preface the show is, you know, all military veterans here. Service, Air Force.
Chair Force, yes.
Chair Force, 11 years for all their Medevac people. They know us, Army here, and Marine.
Marine Corps. So talk slow. We have all the crayons hidden. So we're good. We're fine. We should be fine. We'll keep on track. Yeah. We'll keep on track today. So, and I think that the thing that stood out to me about y'all and what y'all's mission is, I'll be honest with you, is part of like a byproduct of doing this type of medium and the network that comes of it. We got a mutual friend, Aaron, who brought us together, and that's what he does. That's his skill set. It's a strong suit that, quite frankly, you don't know that you have that strong suit until after you get out of the military. Because when you're in the military, it's like you're taught lowest common denominator. There's no individual characteristics, but maybe except for your community.
You know, it's still the same thing. You know, you're in garrison, right? It's high and tight for everything. And those skills do kind of polish themselves when you get out. I do agree with that.
Yeah. It's crazy just how things come together. So appreciate y'all's time and appreciate Absolutely. Your audience. So the clear action is if you're listening to this, you're not subscribed to the Medevac Podcast. First of all, you're wrong. So after you get done doing pushups, go in and go to their social media channels, subscribe. What is it? Hit the bell and button. Or do y'all have those?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Good. Bell and button.
Yeah. So that's subscribe right. and then go over to Knucklehead Podcast if you want some easy things to fall asleep to at nighttime and subscribe there too.
Absolutely. Probably not a bedtime story for us for the most part.
No, probably not. That's all right. That's all right.
Ours might give you nightmares or a little tearjerker before
you
bed.
Know, I think we do a good job of bringing it back up towards the end, right? Yeah. I think that's the best part of this whole community is we're able to open up and share some of the difficult stories that we have, the adversities that we face, but yet we could still be candid about it and just open, make jokes all the time, right? And that's exactly what you do on your show.
Well, what's interesting is when I was in the military, hearing how, like, what made people laugh, if they're not around that type of humor for long, they'd be horrified. Oh, like they'd be like, oh my God, what are you, that's funny? That can't be funny.
You're going to get canceled.
And so the opportunity there, you know, we were talking a little bit about how things, I think you used the analogy of the Oregon Trail, which can you let the audience know exactly what that is before? Because I want to reference it.
Yeah. You know, I use the philosophy of the Oregon Trail for podcasts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that, you know, everybody used to think that they'd make their fortune on this journey to California for the gold rush. And yet the people who made the money were those that opened the salons saloons and the brothels and all these shops, right? Yeah. Those were the people that made the money.
Yeah. And so that almost supply chain, when you think about it from a, like a physical manifestation standpoint, there's something that's drawing people to an objective And then from where they were to where they want to go, that supply chain creates so many opportunities. Mm-hmm. And so I think of the military in that way, because we all had our lives prior to the military. We joined it selfishly to stabilize something in our life, or go and try to capture some type of camaraderie. And then the organization that follows that opportunity, what it leads to, like, there's no way prior to the military, if you could tell me what we were going to do afterwards, that I would go, oh yeah, that's why I want to join. Mm. You know what I mean? And so anyway, I say all that to say that when it comes to what people have been able to do after the military, causes like this are they're just very near and dear, just because it means something. Like, mm-hmm. when I talk to my kids about what means something to them, that, you know, it's Fortnite or, you know, some type of video game or something that's seemingly superficial. This actually, I think, carries on a little bit of what America, what makes America unique. Mm-hmm. And when I say America, I mean what makes this country unique and serving with folks around the world. It actually makes them unique too. It's like common of people who that want to serve.
Sure. I think, you know, we had an interesting conversation yesterday with one of our guests, and I think that ability to expand culture is a really huge aspect of it. Being in the military, exposes you to just a multitude of different worlds, right? And it unplugs you from the system you're in. So I really think that it helps cultivate this environment of thinking outside of the box.
Yeah, it really does. Well, I mean, where I was going was, have y'all ever heard of VetTV?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know that? All right, so a former employee at Knucklehead actually took over their marketing department. He's a CMO over at Veterans. So shout out to Justin over at VetTV. Nice. But if you look at what they do... That humor, like, there's a niche audience that they go and serve. And,
true story.
And part of his role is to be able to go and expand that aperture a little bit. You know, go and go and find those folks who need that humor and that making light of a very serious and dark subject, which is, I think, what you talk about. Yeah, talk about those dark subjects and then
mental health struggles.
Yeah, yeah,
absolutely.
And that's a barrel in itself. Mm-hmm. The mental health struggle is part of what Knucklehead was founded on. I mean, I was screwing up so bad in my personal life, and I was screwing up so bad at work that you didn't realize how those mistakes and those screw ups and the lost money and the, you know, bad relationships and the poor decisions are actually the reason why you can actually have success later on in life. But in the time, it's devastating. You know, you fail businesses, you can't pay your bills, kids are hungry, you know, wife wants to have options, you can't provide them. It's devastating.
Tell us a little bit about that. So what brought Knucklehead to fruition, I guess?
Yeah.
So you said it was born out of struggle.
I'd like to hear
about that.
So I was building a sales team in Austin. It was an ag tech startup. So the business had been around for 30 or 40 years, a trading business. And in that business, there were some people who were taking admin tasks and, you know, running HR, but what they wanted to do was create a technology platform. And that's kind of where my specialty of talking to folks and leading and building businesses and sales teams. We had built a corporate wellness business in Austin prior to that, my wife and I.
Okay.
And at that time, I was employee number 3 at that organization. Mm-hmm. And then I built a sales team out to 12. And sales is not the same thing as HR. Mm-hmm. Like, it's messy. I mean, you're dealing with people in the agricultural business where you're part of the supply chain for food. So you're dealing with ranchers and people who, for a living, they stand on a food production line for 8 to 10 hours a day. And it's not easy work.
It's hard work.
And they're not polite. They're not easy to talk with. And so you're having to train, you know, green, wet behind the ear sales folks on how to be relatable, how to show value, how to mix it up, how to, you know, capitalize on opportunity, buy low and sell high, and then still show the value to our customers. Mm-hmm. And HR wouldn't like that. HR wanted to make sure that everybody fit in a box. And so in that control mechanism, my time in the military, I didn't do well with, it's not that I don't do well with authority. I think I was just immature, looking back on it now, to the amount of like forcing functions that took place after the military. And it was like a continuation of my resistance to that. And so HR and I, we had a handful of issues over and over and over again. And out of that frustration and me not knowing how to conduct myself, there was an issue with one of our sales reps, and I was trying to resolve that. At the same time, I had this HR director who wasn't being honest with the owner of the company about some of the relationships within the sales team. And long story short is I kind of lost my shit, so to speak, on HR because she was overstepping her bounds, first of all. And then in addition to that, she wasn't taking the time to understand the whole story. Mm-hmm. She was being proactive, trying to control the sales team. And I didn't appreciate that. And I felt like she was attacking my integrity to a certain extent. So I reacted. And when I did, I texted my wife exactly how I felt about somebody who was doing that. And after about an hour and a half, I didn't get a message back from my wife. And I realized I had actually texted the HR director.
Oh,
exactly what I felt about her.
Whoops.
So, needless to say, that was the,
sure,
the
was genesis. An accident?
Yeah, yes. That was the genesis of my knucklehead. So, I call that a bonehead and knucklehead mistake. And what that was is things like that are provide opportunities for better things later on, mm-hmm. but they don't seem like it at the time. Mm. And so, what happened was I started talking to people about screw-ups and mistakes that they had made in business and what successes that led to. Mm-hmm. And that's where Knucklehead came from.
Oh, that's a great origin story.
Yeah. Like
that is a great origin and definitely a bonehead move.
Yeah, yeah. Bonehead. Don't, yeah, so if you're listening, don't text your HR director what you think.
Yeah. Well, so. I mean, how did it feel to be able to release that? there's got to be a point where you're just like, yeah. Well, at least she knows now, you know?
I said what everybody wanted to say.
Yeah. So. And I'm just curious, like, what was the result of your position there?
We amicably decided to go different ways. Yeah. That's just kind of how it works. Well, so
to the HR department as well.
That's, needless to say, she didn't want to work with me anymore. So it's
I get it. Uncomfortable.
Who would have known? This crazy fire-breathing Marine when she, you know, She lived in Austin, so I'll let you put together some clues. She thought differently than I did.
And question, I just curious, how many years ago was this?
This was 2017.
Okay, so, you know, quite fresh.
Yeah, 7 years-ish or so.
God, six. That's crazy.
6 years.
Crazy how time flies, man.
It really is. Well, I mean, it created an opportunity for me to go do some other things that I wanted to do it anyway.
Yeah,
it was
your own path.
Yeah, it was like, all right. Yeah. Go out there and do that now.
So I think that's a problem that a lot of people face is they're just in this community of being and feeling safe, right?
Sure.
So they never push themselves or challenge themselves. And all of a sudden, 20, 30 years go by and they're still in the same cubicle, right? Yep. You got to take a gamble, a risk on yourself. And that's what the military drives to. Mm. Just bringing that back is the military instills that resilience in you and that ability to push forward.
Yeah, it really... It forces you out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's something that I wanted to ask both of y'all, because both of y'all came from the medical side, and there's a significant amount of formal education that comes with that. Mm. When I think of folks who are trained formally, I don't always think of the military as a good pathway, especially in the medical field, unless you're talking about trauma and you're talking about dealing with traumatic injuries as they happen and then helping people process that afterwards. So How has that been for you?
Yeah. That's the origin story of this show. Now we get our turn, right?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
A little bit.
That'd be great.
Yeah, and
I was a bonehead.
Made a whoopsie. But to your point, I just wanted to address something that you said with, you didn't consider the medical aspect of and military going hand in hand. What a lot of people don't realize is every major medical advancement of the last 100 years has been explicitly due to war. So every medical advancement with plastic surgery, with traumatic brain injuries, with PTSD, with everything starting from World War I all the way till present day, every single major medical advancement was directly because of conflict.
I didn't
so
know that.
So plastic surgery started in World War
I. Prosthetics as well.
Yeah.
Prosthetics. Yeah. I mean, 25, 30 years ago, you're still rocking wooden legs.
I mean, even like 10 years ago, people were still doing it, right? 15 years ago?
Well, I mean, you're making me feel old now because I've had this for 10
years.
13 years, actually. But these devices, unfortunately, there are pros and cons to war as well, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Our ability to push forward in medicine has definitely been from the war machine.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating when you think about that because, again, that just goes back to the point of conflict creates the opportunity for breakthroughs.
It does. As an injured person, and then we'll rewind it back and talk about how this was kickstarted too, is, and this is a moment of realization I had as the war just ended abruptly, right? Mm. I had a thought, like this just overwhelming feeling that I didn't even recognize would happen, was I was like, what am I going to do with my legs? Like, are prosthetic developments going to stop? Mm. So that was like a huge awakening for me as well. And that was that realization that locked in that feeling.
Yeah.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. When it comes to processing it, mentally, I'm curious just because people have their perception of what struggle really is. Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit about how you calibrate. You know how people sometimes when they're in the military, they kind of have this disdain towards folks who don't understand maybe what they have gone through and they almost act irrational about mm-hmm. it.
Sure.
How did you calibrate, you know, what struggle really was and put into context whenever you're dealing with folks who don't struggle the way that you have?
Well, you know, the way I look at that is that the way I look at adversity is everybody faces their own battles, right? It doesn't matter if you're, you know, hit in war or you're crossing a street and you see your best friend get hit, right? Post-traumatic stress is the same response physiologically across the board, right? Mm. And I, being in special operations, signed up for that too. So I went into that expecting this, and we see this across the board with those combat yeah. experienced veterans have a tendency to like maybe have a little less PTS than, you know, the truck driver who got hit by an ID. And it's because they were mentally ready and they had that mental fortitude established already to get past that. So mm-hmm. I always kind of see that when people talk to me about it is this is a real experience for them. And you have to be able to listen to that. And that's what's really, really powerful about the show, Medevac Podcast, where we're now seeing an audience base expand into the civilian network. And that's because you could take the stories of anyone and pull from that and piece together how you're going to overcome that obstacle that you face.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I see a lot of application in the business world to a certain extent. Mm. Whenever I was talking about taking a risk and making a mistake, or if while you're taking a much more strategic risk by, you know, being a part of a startup and you go out there and you're essentially on the front lines of the business to try to go out and capture revenue to go feed the monster, right? So you're trying to go and fight and kill and capture to make money for the organization. And yet there's still some structure, some proper ways to do things, some policy, so to speak. And I can feel like that almost gets in the way, like mm-hmm. a bureaucracy to a certain extent.
It can. And that's, you know, why we're in business. But, yeah. But yeah. I think, and to tie it all together on to like why it's so important for what we do too is, you know, Christian, you know, spent, and I'll let you bring it up, but years in rescue and I being on the injured side of things, and we collided with this concept.
Yeah, yeah. So I spent a little over 11 years in the Air Force doing combat search and rescue. So my whole career was spent on the other end of, you know, picking up guys in Dave's position. So when we sat down and we thought about how can we bring these stories together, the idea really was to present both sides of the story ultimately. So we wanted to have injured personnel and people who had been rescued tell their side of the story, as well as rescue personnel explain how they deal with it as well. So in most instances, it's the most important day or the most life-changing day for an injured person, right? You step on IED, you lose your leg, something like that. Yeah. Along those lines, it pivots your entire life. For somebody in rescue, you're picking up those people every single day. Mm. And the idea was, how do you explain or how do you compartmentalize those things? And we wanted to work through those stories so we can understand how people piece resiliency together, right? How they utilize those strengths. So we could have our guests pick that out or our audience pick out those little pieces and apply it to their own life, because there are a lot of crossovers, right? And I wanted to go back to what you said a little bit earlier about, you mentioned like a comparison, right? How do you deal with something that like Dave's gone through, right? Stepping on an IED and losing your leg versus someone else who hasn't. Well, as Dave says a lot, and we say fairly often on the show, it's important not to diminish your own story, right? Mm. And when you ask that question specifically, you are inherently diminishing your own story, right? You've not stepped on an IED. You've not lost your leg. Have you gone through hard things in your life, though?
Oh, yeah.
Is that comparable to what Dave's gone through? Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe not.
Yeah. But it is.
To you, it is. Yeah. You know? Yeah. And as soon as you have that comparison, because what Dave's gone through, well, we've had plenty of guys who have no arms and no legs.
Yeah.
And is,
oh, man, that's a whole nother story.
And again, like, is what Dave's gone through comparable to what they've gone through? Again, still, it's diminishing your own value. Yeah. And it's diminishing that part of the story. So we don't like asking the question that way. Specifically for that, we don't want anyone to feel like, well, I haven't gone through something quite that hard. I need to toughen up. No, that's not the right answer. Like, you need to process the things that you've gone through still and work through them in order to come out on the other side. Because if you stop, like, well, he's gone through something way harder, I should just forget about
or
this.
Or my favorite when I was in the hospital was, it could be worse.
Yeah.
And that's I relate the comparing your own story to it could be worse, right? It's like, okay, well, I never went through that. Okay, diminishes your story. Or it could be worse, diminishes your story, right? And I remember saying that, like, someone said that to me, an officer came in and said, well, at least, you know, you didn't lose both legs. And I was like, get the fuck out of this room.
Seriously.
Right?
Yeah. It's a fairly insensitive thing to say. So I'm following the logic there that you...
Well,
you
know, it's everybody, right? We all do it. Yeah. Like, we all compare ourselves. That's what we do as humans. And, you know, that's what we're trying to do with our audience base is kind of train you not to think that way. Mm,
yeah.
And it's like, okay, he's gone through that adversity. He's gone through this. Okay, how does that apply to me? Well, physical training sucked for him, right? What did you do for that, right? Mm. And we could take these bits and pieces and we could really bolster up our way to expedite the process of healing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that if people come at it from that perspective, I can see how that would expedite. Yeah.
Perspective. Yeah. Everything's perspective. And that's to answer your question, like, bringing it back to is you know, I going through what I have and, you know, having the stories and talking to over 100 guests at this point is like, use that as education and providing perspective to myself so that I can understand multiple perspectives and then help maybe guide you into like thinking outside that box.
100%. And that perspective, to your point, only comes from talking to people, willing to put yourself out there. Because I'm sure the first time you did it, you were nervous.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Even just doing a podcast, you're like, I've talked to people before. What is it about press and record that causes me to be a freaking... Exactly. Yeah. You're like, I'm a mumbling idiot. I don't want to listen to myself. So I think if we bring it back to kind of what we're doing here today with TVP, I think a lot of what we've touched on, it provides an opportunity for those in the local community. TVP is unique in that it deals with your processing function, so your brain, and helps to provide some corrective action to help you get through life easier, right? I'm not a medical guy, so I can't even pretend to imagine like what that was. I try to simplify things, but at its simplest form, that's kind of how I understand what TVP provides the opportunity for veterans to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so TVP, Texas Valor Project,
right?
Is a nonprofit entity.
That's exactly right.
So, and the purpose of today's event is to help raise money for transcranial magnetic stimulation, right?
That's exactly right.
The idea.
Yep.
Perfect.
That's exactly right. And everybody here who's in this area, so those of you who don't live in North Texas, who, you know, aren't in Rockwall, I think that it's important to talk about how supportive a community like Rockwall is and how... If you're in a community where you want to do something, you can follow a model of what's been done, not just here, because Wilmington, North Carolina, there's a lot of operators, a lot of, you know, Marine Raiders out that way.
Oh yeah,
they have a very active veteran community. I mean, it's not just Rockwall. They're all over the place, and so these causes, and there's veterans all over the place, and there's folks who want to help all over the place. Mm-hmm. So, I just think that we're here, so let's talk about TVP.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Did you have a question? Sorry, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Tell me the origin of Texas Valor Project. Where did it start? Who began it?
Well, to be honest with you, somebody else would tell this story better than me. Mm. I'm one of those guys who is good friends with people who've gone through the treatment themselves.
Mm. Yeah.
And then as a result of them going through the treatment, they wanted to go and raise money to not talk about the treatment, but to go and facilitate the treatment within veterans in the community.
Well, let's talk about then your observation of, you know, I'm sure there's a before and after, right, of going through this process. And some of your observations to that would be like, what do you see the improvements in?
Yeah, so there's a rigidity going through kind of the special operating community where you feel more at ease whenever you're around probably another operator. There's probably a little bit of competitiveness there, I would imagine, but...
You know, not at all. Not if you're with the right teammate.
Good. You know? Okay, that's fair. That's a good observation. And I would say that that
the answer is yes.
Okay, good to go. So the rigidity, that rigidity, that resistance that somebody is running into in business, or that resistance that somebody's running into in their interpersonal relationships, it's almost like that went away. Mm. You could be more empathetic after, and the guys that are going through that treatment, the rigidity that they had, I mean, that rigidity could be caused by somebody cutting them off in the parking lot.
Yeah.
You know, somebody accidentally hitting their grocery. I mean, they're on edge all the time.
Sure.
Mm. And maybe rightfully so. They're still processing what's going on. And then after the treatment, it's like they were a whole new person. They started exercising more. Mm. Specifically, Chris, the guy who's in here, I think he lost like 50 or 60 pounds.
Wow.
That is great.
You know, just things like that that are...
The walls come down a little bit.
They really do. And I don't know what... I don't know why that is.
But yeah, with transcranial magnetic stimulation, yeah, it helps with major brain anti-inflammation. So it reduces a lot of the inflammation in your brain, which is pretty typical with both PTSD and TBI symptoms. It helps to actually rewire some of your neural pathways as well, the same way that psychedelics do, or in a similar matter that psychedelics do. So there's a lot of crossover in the alternative modalities between like the psychedelics, the transcranial magnetic stimulation, stellate ganglion blocks, things like that. These alternative modalities people are trying seem to bode very similar results, even with very wildly different modalities, right?
Ketamine therapy as well.
Yeah, ketamine therapy.
Same thing. We're seeing those walls melt down a little bit.
Yeah, so it's reducing that heightened response, right? So that fight or flight response that most people are in. And it's a common misconception that it's only PTSD, right? A lot of those same symptoms are due to TBI, so traumatic brain injury. It is a physical injury of the brain that has caused mental degradation, or you know, those heightened responses, those heightened alert responses, things like that. And so the TMS is, from what I've seen, has been incredibly beneficial. It seems to be a 30-day program where you go in every single day, 5 days a week, for half hour of the stimulation, and it seems to be reducing that inflammation, helping to rewire those neural pathways, and help people to process through the things that they have not been able to previously. Mm.
You touched on earlier.
Yeah,
you just talked about how with some of the mission of Medivac. About how you're helping people think differently to process their own story.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's exactly what you just described this particular treatment as.
Yeah, but that's the great thing
incredible.
About...
I think, sorry to interrupt you.
I totally interrupted.
Yeah. But we're proud.
But that's the thing about like these technologies, and we talked about the War Machine, who's emphasized these treatments, right, and really expedited the process of research within PTS and TBI. Funny thing that touches on him is that he said traumatic brain injuries are, we're learning what we were learning about post-traumatic stress after Vietnam.
Yeah.
Like we now understand post-traumatic stress, but now we're seeing that those in conjunction really are doing the detrimental damage. Mm-hmm. But we've created these treatments that we're able to expedite the process. And there is nothing like talking at the end of the day though, right? Yeah. Is opening up. And veterans have a tendency to not want to open up. One, two, not open up to people who have an experience what they have, right? And that's the thing, is we're trying to find that commonality, that line as well. And you could talk about it. And we have a saying on the show, being tough but tender. So now in conjunction with being able to see, our guests, our powerful guests come on and open up like the toughest men in the world, right? Bin Laden Raiders, whoever it is, and open up. It's people like, okay, I guess I can open up. Great, that's that comparison, right? I 100%. Guess I can open up. And then we provide input and education on some of these systems that they have in place. So now they're open to that, and now they start it. So now they're talking, now they're doing things for their mental health, and it's really just this really amazing holistic aspect and approach.
Healing, that's exactly how I'm hearing you describe. I mean, it's the whole process. I mean, family heals, there's interpersonal relationships and business, and if somebody's active in the church or in the community. So all of those things, the net benefit of that. And I think that whenever we started talking about topics for this show, Christian, you and I had a conversation last week, and I was thinking about healing from the inside out. And then what is the after effect of that?
Yeah.
And that's what made me excited about when Aaron, the connectivity between all of this was Aaron bringing us together. He's been able to get like his physical healing. I don't know if y'all knew him several years ago, like his back was jacked up. Now it's like his back's fine.
Yeah.
You know, and he's been able to create opportunities, you know, for himself, him and Kim. Kim got his life has changed.
Yeah. So tremendously.
I have not heard of a negative impact, and I'm sure that there may be some, but the positives seem to significantly outweigh whatever type of negative recourse there is.
Absolutely.
And they seem like a hell of a better treatment. Mm. You know, I know that we're not involved with any pharmaceuticals at Knucklehead, so it seems like a way better treatment than some of the stories I've heard from that direction.
But yeah, a big part of the issue is that, you know, when you get out of the military, the VA hands you your prescription list. Here's your 45 different medications you get to take. And a lot of those have crossover symptoms. They, you know, they have opposing effects, and they can oftentimes exacerbate some of the symptoms, if not outright, in some cases destroy people's lives, right? Where they get completely addicted to these things and they become reliant on them. They have no opportunity to escape that. So providing, I think with the Medivac podcast, we provide insight to people and like, hey, there are other solutions out there, but much like you said, healing from the inside out, right? So the oxygen mask theory is what we always start with. You can't help others until you help yourself first.
Yeah.
And if you have people that are reliant on you and you're not helping yourself, well, you're not in turn helping them.
Yeah. Mm.
So providing the insight and the education, access to resources, that's something that we do on the show, is we try to give people as many resources as possible to take advantage of. We routinely have different nonprofits on to talk about their programs. We have we've had a lot of
y'all talked about Hero Sports. Y'all talked to Mike Barker.
No,
in San Antonio.
No, not yet. He's not yet.
Great guy. Yeah,
not yet.
We'll have to have him. I'll introduce y'all.
Yeah, but perfect.
He was on the podcast. You started going down the vein of nonprofits and organizations.
Yeah,
was there 44,000 nonprofit organizations like designed for? I can't remember where that stat came from, but I think it's designed to contribute to the cause of just trying to heal. So it's like, this is a very close topic. It's a mission of a lot of veterans after they get done serving, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's bridging the gap too, as we always talk about that. And is that these nonprofit entities and the VA systems that he was kind of tagging on here, where prescription medications, you know, was shoved down people's throats, the patient's throats. And, you know, these nonprofit entities really started popping up, right? Wounded Warrior Project being one of the first that really, you know, kind of got into the public view. But finding these avenues to bridge that gap between the healthcare that's provided by the VA system and whatever that route of therapy you need, right? Mm-hmm. There's various different approaches. And I think if you've listened to this at all in the last 10 minutes, you could say there is 30 different ways to heal, you know, to go around that, right? And that's what we always talk about, neural pathways, is like there's different approaches to this. And these nonprofits, through adventure therapies or group therapies or, you know, these psychedelic medicines, right? There's so many different approaches to this. And, you know, just to have a platform to push those out to people is what 100%. It's always about, you know?
100%.
So in the show, we always talk about rescue, recovery, resiliency, and continued service. And a lot of those vets that come out are opening these nonprofits. So it's fantastic to hear.
It really is. You know, if you're out there and you're not, you know, and you didn't serve, use the point that they were making earlier, you can still be involved. And so one of the ways that you can be involved is you can donate money. You can donate money to those causes. And there's a bunch out there. So leverage the resources that we'll put in the show notes, or TVP is one of them. But my challenge is to just go out there and get educated about the things that are out there, right? And that in itself could be a full-time job because of all the different things that are out there. So, in the context of this episode, you know, I think that we're kind of getting to a point where we've got about just a few minutes left here before we start bringing in some other folks here a little bit and talking to them. One thing that we like to do on Knucklehead is to have a single lesson. If you could look back onto a time where a mistake or screw up in your business caused you to learn something that actually led to a breakthrough. So, you know, we've had some operators on, like Mike Cirelli. He was part of Jocko's group for a period of time, and then he went off and kind of did his own thing with EF Overwatch. We've had, you know, venture capital organizations, guys who are in charge of those. There's a guy named Yin Young who's down in Austin. He started a fast casual sushi place. Mm. He's, you know, linked up with like the Y Combinator crowd and, you know, those entrepreneur organization, EO and YPO and all those different organizations. And those are great support mechanisms for people who are out there leading in their respective business fields.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, was there a screw up or there a mistake for either one of y'all that led to the breakthrough to the success that you have now?
Yeah. I stepped on a bomb. I'm just kidding. Not to devalue this at all.
You're kidding. When did that happen?
You got to bring it up. You got to bring it up a little bit because it's a morbid subject. I think, you know, like maybe biggest screw up, you know, would be, I would say life lesson more than anything. You got a screw up?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah. I know the one you're thinking of.
Yeah.
We can't talk about that one, unfortunately. I know we want to, but yeah, for me, my biggest one is, it comes back from my time in nonprofits, and it's understanding who you're working with and really making sure that you know who you're committing to in a business sense, right? So I look at business partnerships as kind of a marriage, right? You are tying yourself together financially, legally, and you have to have a bond that's consummate with that, right? Yep. I'm saying you have to consummate that. But,
Thank you for clarifying.
That is consummate with that, right? So, and it has to, if you are getting into business or if you're taking a chance on something like that, you have to know who you're, you know, proverbially getting into bed with, right? Mm. And if you do not, you open yourself up to great risk. So it's important to vet the people that you're getting in into business with and to working with. I myself learned that, unfortunately, the hard way with a previous business partner, and I did not heed warnings that were given to me early on. I like to give people the benefit of the doubt. Which I think is a strong suit, and I still give people the benefit of the doubt because I don't let one person sway that. That being said, if there are written warnings or if there's writing on the wall, it's there for a reason, and don't pass by it.
Wow.
That's the biggest one for me.
That's great.
Yeah.
That is great. Now for me, thanks for saving me on that one. No, what I was going to say is being impeccable with your word. Mm-hmm. I think externally and internally. Is a big one. You know, always be true to yourself. And if you're not true to yourself, you're not going to be who you are meant to be at the end of the day. You know, there's often times where we set expectations that are unrealistic, and we need to be able to internalize that and think about what we're saying, you know?
Yeah, I do know what you mean.
Yeah.
Bite off a little, I call that just taking an appetite suppressor. Just, you know?
Yeah. I mean, how many times as business owners have we been in situations where we get our heightened response or our heightened emotions and we go to our team and we say, this is what's going to happen, right? And then all of a sudden it doesn't happen. And that's the big thing where it's soul crushing on both ends when that doesn't come true. So if you don't know something, it's okay to say, I don't know it,
right,
and go find the answers, right? So, I think another one is to be open, you know, to be curious and not judgmental, as Whitman would say, you know, is you have to, in order to be receptive to everything that's going on, you know, trying these psychedelic therapies and trying different modalities and going to a fireside chat and opening up, you have to have an open heart. Mm-hmm. And if you don't open yourself up to that, you'll be resistant and those walls will continue to build.
Yeah.
That's absolutely, I mean, 100%. I'd say that all the time, but that's my way of saying I agree. I agree wholeheartedly that there's the principle of mistakes and screw-ups that other people have made. Other people can apply. Somebody's sitting there right now beating themselves up because they didn't listen to somebody's warning.
That's right.
I want them to be able to hear that story and just know, listen, dude, this is an example of Christian having gone through it and being better as a result of having gone through that.
Absolutely.
Know? Same thing with you, Dave. So
yeah.
I appreciate y'all's time. Appreciate y'all coming out here today. Do y'all have a specific way you want to wrap up? Because otherwise what we're going to do is I'm going to tell people to subscribe to socials and we're going to go snag Chris and a couple of the other guys.
Yeah, well, before we go, I'm curious to, you know, same question to you.
I always point back to that time, sharing the story with HR, just because it was such a pivotal point for me. I was trying to put our life together after the military. I had separated from the reserves, so I had no more, I wasn't in the military anymore.
Yeah, no ties.
And I was really just trying to piece things together. But at the same time, I was down in Austin around folks who are in the venture capital space. You know, I'm a sales guy, so I'm out there talking to people constantly. And I wanted to do something. I wanted to do something. We had just failed in a corporate training business where it started out as personal training, and then we started training groups of people. And then we started to train some of those groups of people that led businesses. So that led to an opportunity to take the network of chiropractors and physical therapists and massage therapists and bring them in an organized format to do corporate wellness services in Austin. And, you know, there's insurance companies there that can help subsidize that cost, Humana Vitality. There's just so many different ways to finance and lower the overall cost of healthcare for corporates or corporations. And I had just failed at that. And so... when I look back at that particular point in time, we weren't around the people that we wanted to be. The kids weren't with, you know, families and or other kids that we felt like would be supportive. And so what we did is we came back here. So I'd say that particular time of not stopping and really truly evaluating what was the priority, we stayed in something for probably 4 or 5 years longer than what we should have. So I would say not stopping and evaluating and then going out and getting perspective. When you feel like speeding up is the right answer, most of the time it's not. It's slowing down and evaluating.
So funny that was the next thing I was going to say on this closeout was, you know, my advice to all those out there who, you know, tons of people come up to me and they say, you know, how'd you get through that injury? Like, you know, like, how'd you get through it? I could never do that myself, right? And then that's that comparison again. But what I always say is, like, you take it day by day. You have to put one foot in front of the other, excuse my pun there, but one foot in front of the other to, if it's minute by minute, like, however it is, day by day, whatever you need to do, slow down, enjoy the moments you're in, even if you're in adversity. If you're not getting failure, then you're not challenging yourself hard enough. You're not pushing yourself hard enough. So you need to be able to slow down, appreciate those moments. Even the adversity that you're facing in this current moment is going to bring out the best version in yourself if you make the right choices along the way.
That's exactly right. And I think that's the lesson. I've had people who've listened to the podcast share with other hosts that we're in a very dark place. And my call to action, if you're listening, if you're fortunate enough to get linked up with somebody where you can go share some of your thoughts, that's the beginning step. It's just going out and being willing to put yourself out there and go out and get that, some of that help. So that would be my encouragement to you. So
that's it.
If you're in the area now, today, obviously we're going to do a call to action a little bit later on, but we'd love to have you out here. If you're not here today and you happen to be in the Rockwall community, Texas Gun Club is a great place where you can go and meet a lot of the veterans who are going to be involved in today's TVP event. So appreciate y'all coming out. Y'all are welcome to come back anytime. We'd love to have you out here.
And thanks for having us. Amen. We appreciate you.
Truly.
Appreciate y'all having me.
This has been the joint production of Medevac Podcast and Knucklehead Podcast. Thank you all for joining us today. If you're not already, follow us on the socials at Medevac Podcast and at
Knucklehead MG.
Knucklehead MG. There it is right there. Head on over, hit those buttons, engage with it. And let us know what you think.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Excellent.
Oh, Jesus.